Today's New Testament reading, as we continue on in our series on the book of Acts, is Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive again. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. I'm getting ready to travel to Israel. I think most of you know that. And like the other two international trips I've taken in my life, we're always advised to be on the lookout for vendors who like to sell cheap knockoffs of items. I remember when I went to Italy with a class trip back in high school in Rome, there were all kinds of these items. I had several of my friends buy fake Rolexes. I think they were called Bolex or something like that. But they're all over. It's true in the United States, too. You can always find cheap knockoffs of a particular product or brand, and it's not the same. It is a knockoff. It's a cheap imitation, and it just does not do the job. I think you know what I'm talking about. Let me show you just a few examples. Bill's going to help me go through some of these. Here's one example. You may be interested in buying Nikes and can't afford them. You might be able to buy some Mikes. I'm guessing they won't hold up quite as well, but they probably don't cost as much. That's a pretty bad imitation. It looks like they even messed up the swoosh. It's not even smooth. So that's just one example of a cheap imitation. Here's another one. You may not be able to afford Olay shampoo, but you might just be able to get some OK shampoo. I don't think I'd want any shampoo or conditioner that's just OK, but you might be able to afford that instead. Here's another one. This is Special Man as opposed to Superman. You know, you may not be able to afford the actual comic book, you know, the actual comic book figure, but you might be able to afford something that looks just like Superman. He's not just super, he's special. So you could afford that. Here's another one. Arm & Hatchet. You may not be able to afford Arm & Hammer baking soda, but from what I hear, Arm & Hatchet can do just as good a job. So in the event that you travel elsewhere, go ahead and buy yourself some Arm & Hatchet. Bill, I don't know if there's another one on there. Is there? It may just be. Okay, so you might not be able to afford Dolce & Gabbana either, but you just might be able to get Dolce & Banana. And that's so some of y'all are going to get on eBay or Google after this and see, hey, I can probably afford that. So these are some cheap imitations. No matter where you can go, Bill, hold this image up there for just a moment. No matter where you could go, you can always find bad imitations, right? I mean, you can really do that in the States, too. It's not just about traveling to foreign countries. They may try to get us as tourists, but you can find them here, too. Imitations are generally poorly regarded. You generally want the real thing. You're out to actually buy Dolce & Gabbana, or you want to buy an actual Nike shoe, or you want to use Olay shampoo and not some knockoff that is meant to be an imitation of that particular product. One other common imitation that you know of, and you see of this often, are fake paintings or fake works of art, right? In fact, you probably have seen plenty of movies that use decoys or fake paintings in their story, and they exist, of course, far and wide. You can find all kinds of paintings or images that are meant to look like the real thing, but are actually an imitation. Some people have a very good eye and can tell them apart, but if you're like me, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. They look just like the actual item. Here's one final photo I'd like to talk to you about. This actually is not an imitation photo. This is actually a drawing that was in an old Harper's Bazaar article back in the 1800s. And what you're looking at are a group of people standing around a woman who is painting. I think that much is obvious. And it may seem that they are simply admiring her work, and they are, but she's not painting something out of just inspiration off the top of her head. This is actually an article about a group of people from the United States who would travel to the Louvre in Paris, and they would set up shop in front of a classic piece of art, and they would seek to imitate that piece of art. So what this woman is doing is painting a picture that she is looking at in the Louvre. And this would actually be a trade. Someone would go to a museum such as the Louvre in Paris, and they would paint this particular item. And we have stories of this, and that's what's going on here. They were called copyists, was their title. They were actually called copyists, and they would seek to imitate the actual piece of art. And so, yes, the answer is some of them could imitate the art, and then it would be used to sell fakes and things such as that. But some of the copyists were simply trying to gain inspiration, to hone their own craft, and to imitate the best pieces of art and learn from them, to make it a part of who they were. We read in this article, it says, the true artist, the real one, copies the picture of some great master and follows it out not only with his or her eyes and hands, but with his or her heart and soul. Thank you, Bill. You can go ahead and take that off the screen now. So imitation may seem insincere. It may seem cheap. It may seem lazy. But there are times, I think, when it's good to imitate somebody, isn't it? There are times when imitation can be worthwhile. For instance, you know that there are artists, musical artists, who imitate the Beatles or Elvis or Jimi Hendrix or whomever. They are inspired by them, and in many ways, they seek to imitate them. Now, of course, there is a fine line, because sometimes you just know when someone's trying to copy, but then you sometimes hear a musical piece, and you can know who their inspirations are. There are athletes. For instance, nearly all golfers have attempted to imitate Ben Hogan's swing. That's not considered a disservice. It's an honor to Ben Hogan that Ben Hogan was the one who crafted what's often considered the perfect golf swing. And all of us, especially those of us who are no good at that sport, try to imitate that, and we do a really poor job of it. But that's a worthwhile imitation. There are also preachers who seek to imitate people like Charles Spurgeon or Martin Luther King Jr. or today maybe Andy Stanley. Imitation can serve us well in life if we do it the right way. Yes, there is cheap imitation. There are cheap imitations. There are cheap knockoffs, just like you saw in the pictures earlier. But there are appropriate, inspiring ways that we can imitate others if we do so well. Today's scripture shows us a glimpse, I think, of the best kind of imitation, a worthwhile imitation on the part of two characters of this story. The first character we meet is someone called Dorcas or Tabitha. Both of those were her name in different languages. And she had passed away before we even get to know anything about her. The passage opens hearing about a disciple named Tabitha or Dorcas, knowing she was devoted to good works and acts of charity, but she had become ill and died. So we didn't actually get to see her in action before this point, and yet we know so much about her simply by these opening two lines. First of all, Tabitha or Dorcas was a disciple, which tells us so much. This woman was already an imitator of Christ. If you are a disciple, you imitate Christ every step of the way. And so she was called a disciple. And so she had that. She was a follower of Jesus by name, but she had a reputation as an imitator of Christ. She was known as the best kind of imitator, giving her time and energy towards good works and acts of charity as a testament to the power of Jesus. She was known by those things. And in this almost funeral scene or wake scene that we see, she's surrounded by widows. That's probably not some coincidence. It's very possible. We don't know, but those widows may have been people that she served in her life. She may have crafted items for them. That may have been why they were there. They were paying tribute to this woman who had played such a significant role in their lives. So this may have been a result of her ministry, using her gifts in the name of Jesus. People were honoring this woman who cared so much for them. Dorcas isn't the most well-known figure of the Bible, but I think she probably should be. What we know of Dorcas in this short passage is such a testament to what it means to imitate Christ in the best possible way. And so then we move on to our second imitation of the passage. They hear that Peter is nearby, one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples. And they think, well, we're in a tough time. One of our dear friends has passed away. Let's call Peter and bring him here. And so they do bring Peter. And before you know it, you may be experiencing some deja vu. When you read this passage, you may be able to go back to the gospel passages and see Jesus doing something very similar, walking in, telling someone to get up and rise. And so Peter, in the same way, was imitating Jesus in the way that he knew how. Peter does all he knows how to do at this point in his life, imitate his Lord and Savior. He imitates Jesus and commands Tabitha or Dorcas to rise, and so she does. And God is glorified through her resuscitation. Now, as we go forth in our lives, we may never be able to do what Peter did. In fact, I think about all of us in this room won't be able to do exactly what Peter did. However, whether we are like Peter, whether we are like Dorcas, we have a special calling to be imitators of Christ Jesus, to bring new life to those around us in the name of Jesus Christ, to allow God's Spirit to work through us and to make us the best imitators of Christ that we can be. Ephesians 5 even says, "Be imitators of God, beloved children, live in love as Christ loved us." You know, today we are celebrating the mother figures in our lives, and I think something that comes forth in this day almost always is how our mothers have influenced us, and how in many ways, I think after a time, those mother figures in our life, we seek to imitate them, don't we? I think, and I look at Dorcas, and I think very much of her as a mothering figure. Just based on this passage, I don't know her life. I don't know if she had children or didn't, but I can see her as a mothering figure. In many ways, she served as a mothering figure to those widows around her. And so I think we have a good example of what it means on this Mother's Day, and as we reflect on this passage, what it means to imitate Jesus in the best possible way. And so I ask you this morning, if someone were to look at your life and you were an imitator of Christ, you bore the title of a Christian or a Christ follower, would they see someone who is deeply rooted, who is God-honoring, who imitates Jesus every step of the way? Or will they, like those first pictures we looked at earlier, will they see something cheap or inconsistent or insincere? That's the challenge we have today. How good a job are we doing imitating our Savior in our day-to-day life? And is it an honoring? Is it a worthwhile imitation? Is it pointing directly to Jesus? Or when people look at us, do they say, something's off about him? When they look to us, do they say, she just seems like a cheap knockoff of a Christian? We looked at those early pictures. They were tacky, noticeably low quality. They were in many ways immediately noticeable, right? They resembled what the real thing was, but then when you read the text or read what they were called or saw the quality, you knew that something was off. Maybe you can quote scripture. Maybe you attend church frequently. Maybe you check off Christian when the census comes to your place. Maybe you have a bumper sticker on your car that says something about you being a Christian. Maybe you have something stuck in your front yard. Maybe when Christmas rolls around, you'll have a nativity scene in your front yard. Maybe back in Easter, you had something about Jesus on your Facebook page. But before all those things, we need to ask, first and foremost, are you specifically imitating Jesus in the way you give of yourself to others? Are you being like Dorcas in this passage by being full of charity and good works? Because if Jesus is in you, that is what your life will look like. And people will know that you are imitating Jesus. Are you caring for the widow and the orphan and the stranger in your midst? Are you like Christ, caring for the least of these among you, giving food to those who don't have it or drink to those who don't have it, those who need clothes or shelter or who need your presence? Are you being the presence of Jesus to them? Is the question we must ask ourselves today. Because we have entered a time where saying you are a Christian, in my opinion, doesn't account for much. We are entering a time where saying you are a Christian, saying you are an evangelical, saying you are a mainliner, it doesn't amount to much other than political labels today. But if you are imitating Jesus with your life, if you are truly taking part in a sincere, authentic, deeply rooted, beautiful imitation of what it means to love others and to show compassion, what it means to carry your cross daily, what it means to give of yourself sacrificially in the same way that Jesus gave for us, what it means to testify to an empty tomb and to say there is hope around us, then you're doing your job. If not, your imitation of Christ may not be all that convincing, and I fear people can see right through it. Imitating Christ is so much more important than we give it credit for. We sometimes believe that simply labeling ourselves or being born into the right family or attending church a certain amount of time is the best way we can imitate Jesus. But as we read in this passage, it is so much more. Towards the end of the passage, after Dorcas is resuscitated, it's not just a status from that point that she has been awakened from the dead. It says this became known throughout Joppa and many believed in the Lord. So because she was resurrected, because she was resuscitated and she could imitate Christ even more from that day on, until of course she passed away once again, she was able to testify to the power of Jesus in her life. And we must ask, are we doing the same thing? Is your Christian life much more like the cheap Mikey's or OK shampoo or Dolce and Banana? Or is your life more like the works of art in the Louvre? As you gaze upon Jesus and take his gospel to heart, is your life being formed and imitated and being crafted into something beautiful that points people to Jesus? I think is the question that we ask ourselves when we walk away from this passage. Are you allowing God's Spirit to craft in your life an astonishing imitation of Jesus? May it be so for all of us. Let's pray together.